I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Something I learned today I will pass along to you. It's really critical and important, particularly with these summer months coming up, barbecues and such. Ketchup belongs in the refrigerator. Okay? Just so you know that, Heinz made an official statement that that's where it belongs. You're not supposed to leave it out on the counter or in the cupboard. Ketchup. Have you left your ketchup in the refrigerator?
I always put everything in the refrigerator, including ketchup, just in case.
The dog goes in the refrigerator. Dogs, I should say. Yes. All right, just to pass along that tip. All right, we got a lot to come this hour. What will happen around 3:20 is another keyword. Your chance to win some money. The final one on our show, but it will continue for another couple of hours onto the Conway Show. So around 3:20, we will unveil the latest keyword, and you could win some cash from KFI's inflation compensation contest. Also coming up, as you know, we got a heat wave making its way in. You can tell that summer's here. It's a super, super, super holiday getaway weekend. A lot of people have Monday and Tuesday off, the 3rd and the 4th. It's already, well, we're already seeing some problems with air travel. Big problems this week with flight cancellations. We'll get the lowdown on that story coming up later on in the hour. I'll go to Bidenville. Not only with some new audio from old Joe, but also a health issue. Right now, though, we begin by talking once again this week to Jay Bieber. Jay Bieber's with SaferStreets.org. The executive director. He's also got a position with the National Motorists Association, director of policy and research. We talked to him earlier this week about the mileage tax on your driving. But he's going to give us an update on another one that is really irritating. And if it comes to a street near you, you're not going to be happy. Speed cameras. Jay, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back 2 days later.
2 days, well...
I want to say up front, my ketchup is in my refrigerator. So
is mine. I'm surprised, but apparently there's been arguments. Well, you heard the other one is butter. Some people leave butter out.
Oh, we do that.
You're not supposed to do that. That's what I read.
You do. Oh, come on. Well, I tell my wife now.
No. The answer is not that it's not safe. The answer is that it's going to degrade quicker and taste poor.
Oh, okay.
I'm full of tips today. Just ask me anything. All right.
I will.
All right. So tell us, because the dreaded speed camera is the work of this assemblywoman from Glendale named Laura Friedman, huh?
That is correct. This is the third or third time that she's run this bill, and somebody else ran it before her. So she keeps trying with this bill, and unfortunately this year she's gotten a lot more traction. It looks like it could become law. It could become law, unless people rise up and let their voices be heard.
And it's going to authorize a pilot program, right?
Right. So the pilot program, although it's not really a pilot program, because like in LA alone, they would be allowed 125 cameras. So that's not a pilot program.
That would be in a lot of places. Yeah.
The red light camera program only had like 60 cameras, and they issued 60,000 tickets a year. And millions and millions of dollars in tickets. Now, the fine on this would be a lot lower, but, you know, you could potentially rack up a whole bunch of them. So,
but what are the parameters on it? How much you have to be? Any even 1 mile an hour over the posted speed limit could get you?
It's 11. This starts at 11 miles an hour over the speed limit. But the problem with that is they're allowed to be put on streets where they've lowered the speed limit already. So the way speed limits work, we've talked about this in the past. The way speed limits work is the government builds a road. Let's say it's, you know, encourage you to drive at 45 miles an hour. Feels safe and comfortable at 45 miles an hour. And then they sign it for 35 miles an hour. And then this bill would basically say, well, you're going to get a ticket for going 46 miles an hour. So basically it's 1 mile an hour over what they built the road for.
And the money from this, where's the money supposed to go? I mean, I'm sure they're selling this as it's safety.
100% to the cities.
It goes to the cities.
100%. Yep. Yeah.
But is there a partner from the private sector once again, like there was with the red light cameras, who gets a cut of this?
Yes. Well, they don't get a specific cut. They're not allowed to have a cut per ticket, but they will get huge. They'll get huge contracts, and they'll charge, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
So, you know, it is corporate welfare for all of these, you know, red light camera companies and speed camera companies and whatnot. And they're out there, you know, lobbying and pushing this, of course. They help write the bills. And so they're heavily involved in this, even though they've kept a lower profile this year.
Now, apparently you mentioned here that there are places where there are speed cameras. And what are the results coming out of this?
Well, the thing with speed cameras is that people will slow down if they do see a sign that says there's a speed camera there. People will slow down right there, and then they speed right back up again.
Exactly.
So they don't really affect people long term. Plus, people will drive on other roadways. Once they get to know where that is, people will drive through neighborhoods instead. If it's on a major street and they want to avoid the speed camera, they'll just drive through your neighborhood. So it's not really improving safety. And then sometimes people will see the sign and they think they're going too fast, so they'll slam on the brakes and they, you know, create a rear-end collision. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of negatives associated with it as well. And the bottom line, I think, is this, that nobody really has any sympathy for somebody who's going, you know, 100 miles an hour on a surface street. Okay. Nobody has any sympathy for that.
Right.
The problem is that the vast majority of tickets will be given to people who are simply driving how the road was built by the government, and that there are better ways to improve traffic safety, just like there were with the red light cameras, to do the engineering, to do the, you know, proper yellow light timing and all of that sort of thing. Same thing with this. You can have speed feedback signs that will encourage people to drive a little more closely to the posted speed limit. You know, there's roadway designs that help. But, you know, just simply slapping up a sign and a camera is just going to entrap a bunch of people. And unfortunately, the tickets become a civil violation, not a criminal violation like they are now. So they would no longer be an infraction. You'd lose pretty much all the rights that you have with regards to fighting your ticket that you have in superior court. Now, if you go to traffic court, you would have to go to one of these administrative hearings, just like for a parking ticket. And we all know how those go. You can never win because they make up the rules. There's virtually no oversight, and they can pretty much do whatever they want to you, and they can ignore any evidence. You can't get discovery. You can't subpoena witnesses. You can't face your accuser. There's nobody that shows up to say that your speed was unsafe. Basically, it's like, okay, here's a picture of your license plate, and the machine said you were going this speed, and you're guilty, and now go ahead and prove otherwise.
But could this be beaten back the way the red light cameras were beaten back? And we've covered that over the years with you in terms of getting challenged, and some judges just threw out the citations because of the whole nonsense behind the red light
cameras.
It's possible, but the problem is there would be no judges involved. It would simply be the city, like the city of L.A., for their parking violations bureau folks.
Yeah.
You know, those folks are hired by the city and they're paid by the city. And theoretically, they're supposed to be independent, but they're not. They know.
Well, how do you appeal it then? How would you fight? How would you fight a speed camera ticket?
You can't really. That's the problem. Yes, if after going through all those hoops and spending all that time and money and energy in terms of fighting something, then if you don't like the outcome, you could pay $25 and go to a superior court. But the superior court does not handle the ticket just like it was an infraction, like if a police officer pulled you over. It would just what the court there would do is they would say, well, did they follow their rules? Right. And of course, you know, if they made the rules, they follow their rules, and then you have no ability to fight anything. So, you know, who's going to take the extra time and, you know, spend the extra money and then show after you've gone through all of this, go to court? You can do the same thing with a parking ticket right now if you want to, but nobody does it because it's just too burdensome. They make it way too difficult for you. Yeah. To fight these things.
What we're really talking about, like we always talk about with you, Jay, is the war on cars and driving, because
right.
the idea here, and you mentioned this before, that this obsession they have over, pedestrian and bicyclist deaths. So you mentioned a few minutes ago, we're lowering speed limits on streets to make them safer. And now we'll put a speed camera in there, and, you know, a speed you used to drive on a street near you is now going to get you a ticket.
Exactly. And I do want to mention what you said about pedestrians and bicyclists. I also want to mention that on my website, there's a petition to send an email to all of the senators that are going to hear this next in the Judiciary Committee. If you go to saferstreetsla.org, saferstreets is plural, LA for Los Angeles.org. And the main page there's a big red button at the top that says, you know, sign the petition. Go to that. It'll take you to a page, and it's very simple to fill out. And your email will immediately go to the 12 or so people that are going to hear this next. So definitely please go ahead and do that.
All right, Jay.
As far as are we done?
Well, we pretty much are out of time. If you have something important just to add quickly, go ahead.
No, it's just more technical stuff. I mean, if somebody wants to fight this, go to saferstreetsla.org, sign the petition. It has, you know, more information there, and then, you know, they can always email me and get more information. But the most important thing is to sign the petition. And then at some point we may have to start making phone calls if it gets further. So, you know, I can come back on and let people know what the next step is. But the most important thing, you know, get to the website, sign that petition, because if we have enough people, you know, it could make a difference to the folks, because they haven't heard from anybody yet, really, on our side.
Yeah, because people don't know about this. Jay Bieber, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, as always.
Executive Director of Safer Streets LA, and also Director of Policy and Research for the National Motorists Association. That, again, was saferstreetsla.org to find out more about speed cameras possibly coming to a street near you. The war on the car continues. Your chance for money when we come back might come in handy to pay one of those speed camera tickets. Listen for the keyword, John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yes.
We'd like to formally welcome you to the rest home of Old Joe. Welcome to Bidenville, everyone.
All men and women created by... Go, you know the thing.
There's a man on the moon, or whatever, you know, something, or, you know, whether those aliens are here or not. I commuted for 36 years as Vice President of the United States.
Happy birthday, dear Dad. Happy birthday to you.
I was on the television, I was on the telephone. Every time I hear Hail to the Chief, I wonder, where the hell is he? Turn around and where's the president? What I can't remember it. I was in the foothills of the Himalayas with Xi Jinping.
For Secretary of Health and Education Service, I nominated Javier Baccarilla.
What?
President Harris is a proud Howard alum.
Let's go, Brandon, I agree.
I got them $1.9 trillion relief so far.
Kleptocracy. The guys who are the kleptocracies.
Representative Jackie, are you here?
Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going
to
be here.
And now, to give you a tour of Bidenville before your extended stay, here's John and Ken.
Well, it's a nice sunny afternoon here in Bidenville, sitting on the park bench, talking about Joe. The first update is a health update. Apparently, some reporters noticed that the president had indentations on both sides of his face yesterday morning, so they began to badger with questions. Those are from straps. The word today is that old Joe has been using a CPAP machine to treat sleep apnea. If you've seen those commercials, apparently now they can do some sort of medical procedure, so you don't have to wear the whole mask thing over your face, but because that looks really scary. The White House spokesperson said that since 2008, Joe Biden apparently has been taking care of this problem. He was diagnosed a long time ago with sleep apnea. He used a CPAP machine last night, which is common for people with his history. Biden began using the device in recent weeks to improve his sleep quality. The event was meant to promote the expansion of high-speed internet. But when an event is that boring, reporters look for something else, and someone noticed the indentations, and then so the question came out as to why, and that was the answer. He had to wear a CPAP machine. They think that his symptoms have improved since the last time they talked about this. His sinus and nasal passages. He's apparently had a couple of surgeries. If you don't know, sleep apnea is, well, your breathing stops and starts. 30 million people have it, and I guess a lot of them still wear the mask if necessary. The other thing that did happen today, and it's very, very exciting, it sets the stage for Joe Biden to really begin his campaign for president in 2024, it's the introduction of Bidenomics. Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about here. That's what they want to call it. Remember Reaganomics? This is Bidenomics. And of course, they're comparing and contrasting the two. The Reaganomics theories, which came into place when Ronald Reagan was the president in the 80s, was demeaned by some members of the media as trickle-down economics. Basically, the Reagan administration took more of a macro view to this, improved the economy overall, and everybody will benefit. Biden is now saying, oh, that doesn't work. The middle class or the lower class doesn't. It's just the rich people. So again, it's playing off this idea that Reagan and those kinds of followers of Reaganomics just believe in helping the wealthy. We have this clip of old Joe. There'll be some noise in the background from Marine One talking about Bidenomics, and I guess also throwing in there something about Russia and its problems with Ukraine. Let's listen.
Why no new policy announcements with the branding? With the Bidenomics branding?
Well, look, you guys branded. I didn't. I never called it Bidenomics, and so I was asked the question. Why that?
Your economic team is calling it Bidenomics.
No, wait, let's get it straight. First time we're hearing the Wall Street Journal. Okay? I don't go around beating my chest Bidenomics. So the press started calling it Bidenomics.
I like it.
It's fine. Yeah, it's fine because it is my policy.
Well, I'm looking at a picture. 2:20 p.m. today, he's at an event, and in front of him is a big board that says Bidenomics, investing in America, empowering workers, and lowering costs. So he's now acting like, oh, the media is calling it that. I didn't call it that, but then he admitted that he likes it. I came to office with a theory and a plan to change the economic direction of the country, to move from trickle-down economics to what many from the Wall Street Journal to the Financial Times have called Bidenomics, and our plan is working. If you look at the polls, the plan is not working. Most Americans are not happy at all with the economy. This is a strange... In the end, I mean, Bill Clinton said this best years ago, it's the economy, stupid. So that's the tack they're taking here. I don't know if this is going to play so well with people because... some people are a little grumbly still about the economy. I didn't hear it in that piece of audio, but apparently he also referred to Russia's problems in Iraq. Oh, you do have it. Okay, it's a separate clip. All right, go ahead.
To what extent has Vladimir Putin been weakened by recent events? It's hard to tell, but he's clearly losing the war in Iraq. He's losing the war at home. And he has become a bit of a briar around the world. It's not just NATO. It's not just anything.
In many ways, Joe is still living like 30 years ago.
No, it's 40
Russia's having problems in Iraq. Now, Russia invaded Afghanistan in the 70s. And, of course, they've invaded Ukraine. But Iraq. And finally, we have this clip where he gets a little testy. Again, we got the background noise from Marine One. A New York Post reporter started hounding him about Hunter Biden and the preferential treatment he may have gotten from the Department of Justice over his tax problems and Joe being the big guy. And they're shaking down all sorts of businessmen around the world. Let's listen in.
President Biden, how involved were you in your son's Chinese shakedown text message? Were you sitting there? Were you involved? No, I wasn't.
And the question there specifically is about a message from WhatsApp that was retrieved from Hunter Biden's laptop, where he's talking to a Chinese businessman, and he supposedly is in the Biden home in Delaware, and he's saying, "My father's right here with me, so pay up." That's what the reporter is asking about. So let's see if the Republicans can gain ground on this in Congress to try to make a bigger deal out of the whole Biden family shakedown. That's how they've acquired some of their wealth. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the
podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're now going to talk about, and they predicted this, the dreaded summer of airline travel. There are so many people that when COVID broke out in 2020, obviously weren't going anywhere. Some continued to do that in 21, in 22. This looks to be the year where everyone decided it's time to travel again, to take to the airplanes. The stories coming out of bookings in Europe and particularly countries like Italy, it's supposedly off the charts with people anxious to get there. But the airlines are having problems. Some of it's weather, some of it's staffing. It's been a big story this week. And we're going to talk now to Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI, about the latest.
Hey there, Ken. Yeah, it's a little bit better today than it was yesterday. Still not great, though. Still about 1,000 flights that have been canceled in the U.S. today. It went up a few minutes ago. We're at 991 right now. And United is getting blasted through all of this. They have a big hub in L.A., so a lot of people are being impacted in L.A. But this goes back to the beginning of the week in Newark, that every afternoon, Newark is a big hub for United. That is their New York hub, even though they're in Jersey, but their New York hub. That they have been getting thunderstorms every afternoon. And that has pretty much shut everything down. On Monday, 75% of arrivals, the remaining amount were getting through, 75% were reduced and were not able to land. And it's been kind of that way every afternoon, where air traffic control has limited the landings coming in. And so now you got this war of words. United is blaming the FAA. The FAA is saying it's only weather, But then today, Chicago, which is United's biggest hub, they've got problems. They've got thunderstorms and smoke from the Canadian wildfires. And so now they've got a lot of delays and cancellations there. And I mean, it just, United can't catch a break in any of this. And people have been stuck. They are stuck at airports, in the hub airports, Denver. People are sleeping in the concourses because of what's going on in Chicago and in Newark. And it's been a mess. This guy's stuck in Newark.
My flight was at 1:30 yesterday. It got delayed, and then it got delayed to a new time, and then that time got canceled. And me and everybody else on the flight have basically been stuck here for a day and a half now. It's about to be 2 days. And no vouchers, no nothing.
No vouchers, no nothing, because when it's weather, the airlines don't have to give you a hotel room. They don't have to give you food. So everybody's kind of on their own. And if you're trying around the Newark airport or O'Hare or Denver to get a hotel room, there's nothing left. So people are having to sleep in the concourses, in the terminals, at the airports. JetBlue and Delta, they've had some issues because JFK also had some problems. They have big operations there, but not like Newark. And the way that's been there, these people stuck trying to get out of Boston and go through Newark.
We're trying to just get home to our baby.
This is my second attempt to get out to the West Coast, San Diego specifically.
And then Ken United, so they're blaming the FAA. They say the FAA has too few air traffic controllers on duty now, that so many retired, saying that this is an issue that has been building for a really long time, that those that are working are now young and inexperienced, or at least new and inexperienced in dealing with storms, saying this is a failure of air traffic control, that they should be able to land those flights that were not allowed, the 75% reduction at Newark, and that the CEO, Scott Kirby of United, he's ticked off. He says he's frustrated that this is a failure of the FAA. The FAA says it's weather. Nothing we can do. And today we were able to talk to Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. He answered it diplomatically, but he's not blaming the FAA or United, saying it's a little bit of both. But he says it's a lot of United.
Well, United Airlines seems to have some issues that are specific to their airline. And I want to emphasize that staffing issues at air traffic control are not the main driver of delays and cancellations in our system. But at the same time, I will say there have been issues both with staffing availability and technology. It's why we've been pushing so hard to modernize the equipment and to get the resources for more staffing for our air traffic control.
And the DOT, Department of Transportation, they came out with a report recently saying that, yeah, the FAA has some major staffing issues going on, and that they failed in filling the ranks over many years as the problem was getting worse. So time is running out. This is the 4th of July rush, beginning really today, but ramping up tomorrow. Friday could be the busiest day ever in air travel, and if not ever, then pretty darn close. So, yeah. You know, it's United is going into this already having major problems. And like we've talked about with Southwest, and when Frontier's had it and Spirit's had it, everything's in the wrong place. They got to put that puzzle back together, that you've got planes in the wrong cities, air crews in the wrong cities. They can't afford to do what Southwest did and like shut down for a day and say they're just going to move everybody where they need to be, because we're going into the big travel period right now. They got to try to get through it, and they're working on that right now.
It's funny how it seems to change airline to airline every few months. Remember, it was Southwest. It was having so many problems that people were complaining about.
Yeah, but when it begins with weather, it's kind of who gets hit, you know, because they all have different hubs. So United's got Newark, Chicago, Denver, Houston, L.A., and San Francisco. Southwest has Dallas and, you know, and then focus cities that are out there. So it's like when one gets blasted, then, and, you know, Delta, if it's Salt Lake City or if it's Atlanta. But United on this one, with Chicago today and Newark the last couple of days, and then Denver last week, they were getting blasted by thunderstorms coming in off of the mountains, that it just hasn't been working out for them.
And the hub thing is big because it dominoes from there. If you have a major operation at an airport and there's problems at the airport, well, that affects all of your planes going all over with connecting flights and such.
Yeah, you may say, I'm not going to Newark, I'm not going to Chicago, but you know what? That plane that is going to go LAX to SFO
may have
been supposed to have gone from Newark to Chicago, you know, let's say Chicago to Kansas City, Kansas City to Denver, Denver to LA. Whoops, it never did any of those, and then it never got to LAX, or the flight crew is sitting in Tampa and they were supposed to be in LA after four flights to get there, and they didn't overnight and get to LA. I mean, it is a mess. When you've got a system as wide as United's and with that many flights, I mean, they've got pilots in the wrong cities, flight attendants in the wrong cities. That 757 that you're supposed to be on is, you know, sitting in Orlando right now. So they need to figure it out. A little bit better today, but still not great.
All right. Thank you very much, Alex.
You got
appreciate
it. Thanks, Ken.
Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI, about the latest woes in airline travel. More coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
If you cannot listen to the 3 hours live, by all means, pick up the show on demand. It'll be posted at KFIAM640.com on the iHeartRadio app as well, sometime after 4 o'clock. Listen anytime that you want to. A couple of the big stories this afternoon. There was a train derailment, a 7-car Coast Starlight train heading from Los Angeles to Seattle, an Amtrak train, which was headed up to Washington State, did ram into a truck, causing severe damage to the train. This happened in Moorpark at Los Angeles Avenue and Gabbert Road this morning. This is in Ventura County. There was a fire in the train's baggage car. 173 people and 13 employees. And it struck a Ventura County Public Works tanker truck that was taking water to local ranches. No major injuries. 15 people transported to hospitals, including the driver of the truck. Some of the train cars were leaning at awkward angles against a hillside, according to video of the incident. But nobody badly hurt in that sad story. Also, another story coming out this afternoon, a couple dealing with the two big international stories in the last week. The submersible, the Titan sub, which was transporting people deep below the ocean to take a look at the wreckage of the Titanic. And of course, on Father's Day, they lost contact with the little sub, submersible, they call it. And it was a few days later that they revealed that there's no survivors, that it may have imploded. The update today is that the Coast Guard has found what they believe are human remains and some of the wreckage that they've been able to recover from 12,500 feet below the surface of the Atlantic Ocean. That's pretty remarkable. There were some that thought that they might not be able to get a lot of the wreckage, and if they did, probably they'd never be able to recover any remains of the five people that were on that submersible. But the word this afternoon is that they're transporting these remains to the United States, where they'll undergo testing and analysis. Some thought this catastrophic implosion would probably not result in any remains, because you imagine an implosion underwater. What would happen to the body parts is kind of scattering and dissolving, and who knows. But it looks like they are going to be able to recover the remains of some of the people that were on that submersible. They do believe, of course, that these are the remains, would have to be, of the passengers on the submersible in that accident that occurred. And the other big story, of course, involved what looked like an attempted Russian coup, that a man by the name of Yevgeny Prigozhin, who was the head of a mercenary group called the Wagner Group, and on Saturday they were marching to Moscow, or at least seemed about 8,000 of his soldiers were, and people believed he was there to take out the Russian government, led by, of course, Vladimir Putin. Well, as we know, that whole thing dissolved quickly, and then Prigozhin was sent to Belarus in exile. There are some reports that no one's seen him since he was sent to Belarus in exile, so we don't even know if he's alive. Stories that are coming out now, and those are coming out of Russia, who knows what to believe, that he was not there for a regime change, but he was probably going to go after some of the defense officials in Russia. He had been fighting for a long time with the Minister of Defense in that country and other defense officials, and that's, he wanted to arrest them, is what they're saying now. He did not want to knock Putin out of power. And he's known Putin for a long time, but he wanted to arrest these Russian defense officials who we thought were doing an incredibly poor job at running the war in Ukraine. He wanted to capture the top Russian defense chiefs. But as I said, with everything else, who knows what to believe. And now, probably the weirdest story I have seen all week. When people die, and sometimes they're cremated, the question sometimes becomes, what do you do with the ashes? Well, they're put in an urn. Sometimes they're buried in the ground. That's what we did with my parents. But other people have specific requests as to what they want done with their ashes. This scene at the British Summertime Festival in London is why I said it's the strangest story of the week, because apparently a woman went to a Pink concert and decided to throw a plastic bag of her mother's ashes right up there on stage. Here's some of the audio.
Is this your mom? I don't know how to feel about this.
And I guess what happened was she kind of tossed them carefully, because I thought if she threw them from a distance, they would like explode on the stage. But apparently they landed near Pink while she was singing, and you heard her there ask the woman, who must have been pretty close to the front of the stage, is this your mom? And then Pink said, I don't know how I feel about this. Pink apparently did not stop singing the particular song she was singing, just kept right on going. It's not clear who threw this or the reason behind this, and what happened to the ashes is not even clear now. But that is one really bizarre story. Although, maybe that was her mother's wishes. I'm a big Pink fan. If you ever have a chance to see her in concert after I die, throw my ashes on stage so I can sort of be with her while she's performing. All right, the Conway Show is coming up next.
Right. You're going to be, you want to be on the stage with Pink. That's where your ashes.
That was her mother's last wish, right? After I die, cremate me and throw me on stage with Pink.
You know, when my dad died, he said, and I stole this line from my buddy Frankie Renzulli, but my dad said, hey, can you sprinkle some of my ashes at Santa Anita and then take some to Thistledown Racetrack outside of Cleveland and then take some to Churchill Downs, the Kentucky Derby, and sprinkle some there? I'm like, Dad, I'm not going on a road and truck tour with your ashes. I mean, you're just dying. Everybody does it. Please. What's wrong with you? But yeah, people like the ashes spread everywhere. You know, I don't know. It's a weird thing. You know,
I think I'm going to be cremated, but I don't think I really care where the ashes go.
I
was with a group that dumped somebody's ashes in the ocean.
My dad has never hated anybody, but he was really got under his skin that Georgia Frontieri moved the Rams, and that really bothered him. And so when they finally won the championship, you're a Rams fan, so you know what it was like. You know,
the St. Louis Rams or the LA?
LA Rams. Years and years of drought. Years of drought. Yes. Decades. And we finally won one. I went to his grave to say, hey, Dad, we got this. You know, won the Super Bowl. And I look right above him in this mausoleum. Right above him. Georgia Frontieri. Right above him. That's correct. Right there for eternity.
This is not part of your act. This is real.
I'll take a photo. For eternity, he's got to be located right next to Georgia Frontieri.
Oh, man.
What a nightmare.
That's really peculiar. And he couldn't have picked out his place beforehand to know she was there?
I don't think anyone really knew.
She died a while ago.
Yeah, she died a long time ago. So he was moving in on her. But I don't think anyone really knew. You don't look around, you know, when, you know, you're buying something like that.
You should now.
We have also the shell that's been brought up by this submersive. That doesn't look like it's 5 inches thick of metal. You know,
Yeah, I haven't seen the video yet.
Oh, it's not very good. And then we have the nightmare starting with travel. I heard you talking to Alex Stone about that. What a nightmare this is going to be. And then Madonna, the material girl, was intubated. We almost lost the material girl. You know, she's fine now.
I know. Madonna, right. Oh, she has a bacterial infection.
I'm a material girl that lives in a material world. What a red flag for guys that are going to date her, right? Yeah.
Well, she's 64. I don't know.
I get it. Are you traveling at all for July 4th?
I will be probably taking a couple of short trips.
Good for you. Good for you, man. All right.
Yeah. Hopefully I won't get caught in any huge delays. Ding dong.
All right. Ding dong with you. Come on.
All right. Yeah. Conway is coming up next with the big Ding Dong Show. KFI AM 640 live everywhere. The iHeartRadio app. Michael Crozier has the news now. Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.